So we'll dedicate this class to Gargamuni Prabhu. And what I thought we'd read this evening was from the last chapter of the Chaitanya Charitamrita. The last chapter of the Chaitanya Charitamrita about the ecstatic symptoms of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in the context of him reciting the Shishashuka prayers. So, of course, reciting and being the author of the Shishashuka prayers. So, Om Maganath, Madandasha, Gananjana, Shlakaya, Chakshur, Meditam, Yena Tasmai, Shivadeva Namaha. So, we'll just read, the English, except for the obeisance verse. So, Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya, Jaya Nityananda, Jaya Dvaita Chandra, Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Jaya Jaya Nityananda, Jaya Dvaita Chandra, Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya, Jaya Nityananda, Jaya Dvaita Chandra, Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda.
Jaya
Jaya
Sri Chaitanya Jaya
Nityananda Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaur Bhakta Vrinda
Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda Jaya
Dvaita
Chandra Jaya Gaur Bhakta
Vrinda. So, reading from the Chaitanya Charitamrita, Anchalila. And it's the chapter 20 in the Anchalila. So, only the most fortunate will relish the mad words of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, which mixed with jubilation, envy, agitation, submissiveness, and grief, all produced by ecstatic loving emotions. So this is a description of what's called Vyabhachari Bhava, or Sanchari Bhava, which is the same thing. And there's 33 of these intense emotions, which are basically, according to Śrīla Rūpa Goswāmī and Viṣṇu Chakravarti Thakur, uncontrollable, intermittent. In other words, one cannot predict when these emotions are going to come, and they're uncontrollable. They're contrasted with the Ashtasattvika Bhava emotions, which are from the mode of transcendental goodness, which are always there in the heart of the pure devotee. But these emotions are like waves, the sanchari emotions are like waves of the ocean that sometimes engulf someone, and sometimes, you know, they ebb and they flow. So they're amazing description here. So, when Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu thus resided at Jagannath Puri in Nilachal, he was continuously overwhelmed night and day by separation from Krishna. Day and night, he tasted transcendental blissful songs and verses with his two associates, namely Sarup Damodara Goswami and Anamanda Roy. He relished the symptoms of various transcendental emotions such as jubilation, lamentation, anger, humility, anxiety, grief, eagerness, and satisfaction. He would recite his own verses expressing their meanings and emotions, and thus enjoy tasting them with these two friends. Sometimes the Lord would be absorbed in a particular emotion, and he would stay awake all night, reciting related verses and relishing their taste. In great jubilation, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, "My dearest Sarup Damodara Ramananda Roy, know from me that chanting of the holy names is the most feasible means of salvation in this age of Kali. In this age of Kali, the process of worshipping Krishna is to perform sacrifice by chanting the holy name of the Lord. One who does so is certainly very intelligent and he obtains shelter at the lotus feet of Krishna. In the age of Kali, intelligent persons perform congregational chanting to worship the incarnation of Godhead, who constantly sings the name of Krishna." This is, of course, the verse we read the other day from the 11th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. "Although his complexion is not blackish, he is Krishna himself. He is accompanied by his associates, servants, weapons, and confidential companions." 11.5.32. Simply by chanting the holy name of Lord Krishna, one can be freed from all undesirable habits. This is the means of awakening all good fortune and initiating the flow of waves of love for Krishna. So this chapter in particular is the glorification of the holy name. So the next text, of course, is the first verse of the Shikshastra. And listen to this translation, which is different than the one that devotees are normally accustomed to hearing. Let there be all victory for the chanting of the holy name of Lord Krishna, which can cleanse the mirror of the heart and stop the miseries of the blazing fire of material existence. That chanting is the waxing moon that spreads the white lotus of good fortune for all living entities. It is the life and soul of all education. The chanting of the holy name of Lord Krishna expands the blissful ocean of transcendental life. It gives a cooling effect to everyone and enables one to taste full nectar at every step. And next verse. By performing congregational chanting of the Hare Krishna mantra, one can destroy the sinful condition of material existence, purify the unclean heart, and awaken all varieties of devotional service. The result of chanting is that one awakens his love for Krishna and tastes transcendental bliss. Ultimately, one attains the association of Krishna and engages in his devotional service as if immersing himself in a great ocean of love. Lamentation and humility awoke within Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and he began reciting another of his own verses. By hearing the meaning of that verse, one can forget all unhappiness and lamentation. So the first verse is generally understood to be Sambandhagyan, you know, just basic information of the ontology of the holy name and what the holy name can do. And then you get into Abhideya in the next verse. Abhideya means basically the process of devotional service. So the next verse, of course, is, as stated here, awakens humility. So that's very well-known verse, of course. Now, namakari bhagavan vijasarva shaptish tadrapata nimata smarane nikala etadushi tava kripa bhagavan mama api durdhaipa midrisham maitadi nanuradaha. My Lord, O Supreme Personality, God, in your holy name, there is all good fortune for the living entity. And therefore you have many names such as Krishna and Govinda, by which you expand yourself. You've invested all your potencies in those names, and there are no hard and fast rules for remembering them. My dear Lord, although you bestow such mercy upon the fallen conditioned souls by liberally teaching your holy names, I am so unfortunate that I commit offenses while chanting the holy name, and therefore I do not achieve attachment for chanting. That's interesting. Prabhupada doesn't really give really long purports in this chapter, because Prabhupada himself is immersed in the ecstasy of Krishna prema. And the highest truths are revealed in this chapter. So, next text. Because people vary in their desires, you have distributed various holy names by your mercy. Regardless of time or place, one who chants the holy name even while eating or sleeping attains all perfection. You have invested your full potencies in each individual holy name, but I am so unfortunate that I have no attachment to chanting your holy names. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu continued, O Swarup Damodar Goswami and Ramananda Roy, please hear from me the symptoms of how one should chant the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra to awaken very easily one's dormant love for Krishna. So again, we're on Abhideya here. Trinadapi Sunichena Tarayana Sivishnana Amanyana Manadena Kirtaniya Sadahari. One who thinks himself lower than the grass, who is more tolerant than a tree, and who does not expect personal honor but is always prepared to give all respect to others, can very easily always chant the holy name of the Lord. These are the symptoms of one who chants the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. Although he is very exalted, he thinks himself lower than the grass on the ground. And like a tree, he tolerates everything in two ways. When a tree is cut down, it does not protest. And even when drying up, it does not ask anyone for water. The tree delivers its fruits, flowers, and whatever it possesses to anyone and everyone. It tolerates scorching heat and torrents of rain, yet it still gives shelter to others. Although a Vaishnava is the most exalted person, he is prideless and gives all respect to everyone, knowing everyone to be the resting place of Krishna. If one chants the holy name of Lord Krishna in this manner, he will certainly awaken his dormant love for Krishna's lotus feet. As Lord Chaitanya spoke in this way, his humility increased and he began praying to Krishna that he could discharge pure devotional service. So here is Krishna himself in the mood of Radharani, of course, feeling that he's not qualified to perform pure devotional service. What humility. Whenever there is a relationship of love of Godhead, its natural symptom is that the devotee does not think himself a devotee. Instead, he always thinks that he has not even a drop of love for Krishna. The Prabhupada has a nice purport here. Quoting from the spiritual master, he says, Śrīla Bhakti Siddhānta Sarasvati Thakur comments that persons who are actually very poor because they possess not even a drop of love of Godhead or pure devotional service falsely advertise themselves as great devotees, although they cannot at any time relish the transcendental bliss of devotional service. A class of so-called devotees known as Prakriti Sahajas sometimes display devotional symptoms to exhibit their good fortune. They are pretending, however, because these devotional features are only external. Prakriti Sahajas exhibit these symptoms to advertise their so-called advancement and love of Krishna. But instead of praising the Prakriti Sahajas for their symptoms of transcendental ecstasy, pure devotees do not like to associate with them. It is not advisable to equate the Prakriti Sahajas with pure devotees. When one is actually advanced in ecstatic love of Krishna, he does not try to advertise himself. Instead, he endeavors more and more to render service to the Lord. Prakriti Sahajas sometimes criticize pure devotees by calling them philosophers, learned scholars, knowers of the truth, or minute observers, but not devotees. On the other hand, they depict themselves as the most advanced, transcendently blissful devotees, deeply absorbed in devotional service and mad to taste the transcendental mellows. They also describe themselves as the most advanced devotees in spontaneous love, as knowers of transcendental mellows, as the topmost devotees in comfortable love of Krishna, and so on. Not actually knowing the transcendental nature of love of God, they accept their material emotions to be indicative of advancement. In this way, they pollute the process of devotional service. To try to become writers of Vaishnava literature, they introduce their material conceptions of life into pure devotional service. Because of their material conceptions, they advertise themselves as knowers of transcendental mellows. But they do not understand the transcendental nature of devotional service. Next verse, Adishak Shashtaka. Nadanam Najanam Sundarim Kavitam Bhaja Vishakamaya Mama Janmani Janmani Shvare Bhavapa Bhakti Ohaituki Vaye. O Lord of the universe, I do not desire material wealth, materialistic followers, a beautiful wife, or fruit of activities described in flowery language. All I want, life after life, is unmotivated devotional service to you. Actually, just going back to the last thing about the Prakriti Sahajas, there's a story about Haridas Thakur. A very interesting story that there was a man who was like a snake charmer, and he was singing a song about, say, Shanag. You probably heard this story before. And then when Haridas Thakur, he was singing a song, and Haridas Thakur heard that, he started rolling on the ground in ecstasy and just like, and the snake charmer just stood to the side and just watched it and, you know, paid obeisances to Haridas Thakur. And everybody was paying obeisances to Haridas Thakur. But then there was a Brahmin who was watching the whole thing. And he thought, wow, I can get respect too. So he went, when the snake charmer was talking about Seshanagin, he started dancing and rolling on the ground. The snake charmer just like started kicking him. And he said, what are you doing? Why are you kicking me? You respected Haridas Thakur. And he said, you're just a pretender. Get the hell out of here. So you see this quite often. So anyway, so we just recited the next verse. And Lord Chaitanya is explaining, my dear Lord Krishna, I do not want material wealth from you, nor do I want followers, a beautiful wife, or the results of fruitive activities. I only pray that by your causeless mercy, you give me pure devotional service life after life. In great humility, considering himself a conditioned soul of the material world, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu again expressed his desire to be endowed with service to the Lord. The next verse. Ayananda tanujikinkaram vaditam mam shame bhavam buddha kupaya tava padvankaja stita duli sadrasham vachintya. O my Lord, O Krishna, son of Maharaj Nanda, I am your eternal servitor. But because of my own fruit of acts, I have fallen into this horrible ocean of nescience. Now please be causelessly merciful to me. Consider me a particle of dust at your lotus feet. This of course is also Abhideya. And as Prabhupada instructed, that's how we should chant the holy names, like a child calling out for his mother. I am your eternal servitor. Here, Lord Chaitanya further explains this verse. I am your eternal servant, but I forgot your lordship. Now I have fallen in the ocean of nescience and I've been conditioned by the external energy. Be causelessly merciful to me. And remember, the only purport that Prabhupada wrote was the one that I read previously. And that was actually a paraphrasing of his spiritual master's purport. So you see Prabhupada's experiencing so much ecstasy that he is not writing purports to these verses. Be causelessly merciful to me by giving me a place with the particles of dust at your lotus feet so that I may engage in the service of your lordship as your eternal servant. Natural humility and eagerness then awoke in Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. In other words, when we hear about the emotions that Lord Chaitanya is experiencing, those are the emotions that are supposed to be woken up in ourselves when we chant these particular verses. Not that we imitate, but that's the emotions. It's not that we just recite in a parrot-like fashion, but we should experience these same emotions. And if we're not reciting the Shikshashtaka properly. He prayed to Krishna to be able to chant the Maha Mantra in ecstatic love. So here we go. Nayanam galudashru dharaya vadanam gadgada vidya gida pulaka nishitam vahu gada tavanama grahane virishyati. My dear Lord, when will my eyes be beautified by filling with tears that constantly glide down as I chant your holy name? When will my voice falter and all the hairs of my body stand erect in transcendental happiness as I chant your holy name? So this is like intense desire for spiritual perfection. I think it's called Alkantya, Alkanta, or something like that by Sri Rupa Goswami. This, of course, is very similar to Bhakti Vinod Thakur's song, Kabhi Habhi Bolo De Se Dina Mar. When will that day be mine? Aparada Guche. When will the offenses cease? Harinama Guche. When will I have a taste? You know, it's a beautiful song by Bhakti Vinod Thakur. I used to chant that quite often. Without love of Godhead, my life is useless. Therefore, I pray that you accept me as your servant and give me the salary of ecstatic love of Godhead. Separation from Krishna awoke various mellows of distress, lamentation, and humility. Thus, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu spoke like a crazy man. And here we have like Baba. Yugayatam nimishena chakshusha. Prabhashayatam, shunyayatam, jagat sarvam, govinda, vidahinamay. My Lord Govinda, because of separation from you, I consider even a moment a great millennium. Tears flow from my eyes like torrents of rain, and I see the entire world is void. In my agitation, a day never ends, for every moment seems like a millennium. Pouring incessant tears, my eyes are like clouds in the rainy season. The three worlds have become void because of separation from Govinda. I feel as if I were burning alive in a slow fire. Lord Krishna has become indifferent to me just to test my love, and my friends say, now he's speaking like a mood of Srimati Radharani, better to disregard him. While Srimati Radharani was thinking in this way, the characteristics of natural love became manifest because of her pure heart. The ecstatic symptoms of envy, great eagerness, humility, zeal, and supplication all became manifest at once. In that mood, the mind of Srimati Radharani was agitated, and therefore she spoke a verse of advanced devotion to her gopi friends. In the same spirit of ecstasy, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu recited that verse, and as soon as he did so, he felt like Srimati Radharani. And of course, last verse, Asla Shiva Bhav, Pada Vatam Panashtu Mama Darshanama Vatam Guru Tava, Tata Tata, Ahava Vatu Manapatoma, Pandanata Stu Seiva Na Malaha. Let Krishna tightly embrace this maidservant who has fallen at his lotus feet. Let him trample me or break my heart by never being visible to me. Wow, never being visible to me. That's interesting. You know, and the other translates by not being present before me. But here, never being visible to me, which is actually much more intense than not being present before me. He is a debauchee, and after all, he can do whatever he likes, but he is still known other than the worshipful Lord of my heart. And Lord Chaitanya explains it. I remember there's no purpose in any of these verses, and it's the most intense, let's say, elevated subject matter. I'm a maidservant at the lotus feet of Krishna. He is the embodiment of transcendental happiness and mellows. If he likes, he can tightly embrace me and make me feel oneness with him, or by not giving me his audience, he may corrode my mind and body. Nevertheless, it is he who is the Lord of my life. My dear friend, just hear the decision of my mind. Actually, the word for friend is Sakhi, you know, like, it's one of the girls, you know, Radharani's addressing one of her friends. Krishna is the Lord of my life in all conditions, whether he shows me affection or kills me by giving me unhappiness. Sometimes Krishna gives up the company of other gopis and becomes controlled, mind and body, by me. Thus he manifests my good fortune and gives others distress by performing his loving affairs with me. Or since, after all, he is a very cunning, obstinate debauchee with a propensity to cheat, he takes to the company of other women. He then indulges in loving affairs with them in front of me to give distress to my mind. He is still the Lord of my life. What a God. I do not mind my personal distress. I only wish for the happiness of Krishna. For his happiness is the goal of my life. However, if he feels great happiness in giving me distress, that distress is the best of my happiness. Here again, Prabhupada quotes Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur says that a devotee does not care about his own happiness and distress. He is simply interested in seeing that Krishna is happy. And for that purpose, he engages in various activities. A pure devotee has no way of sensing happiness. Wow. A pure devotee has no way of sensing happiness except by seeing that Krishna is happy in every respect. If Krishna becomes happy by giving him distress, such a devotee accepts that unhappiness as the greatest of all happiness. Wow. Those who are materialistic, however, who are very proud of material wealth and have no spiritual knowledge like the Prakriti Sahajas, regard their own happiness as the aim of life. Some of them aspire to enjoy themselves by sharing the happiness of Krishna. This is the mentality of fruitive workers who want to enjoy sense gratification by making a show of service to Krishna. Now, sometimes devotees complain, well, now I chant, I don't experience any happiness. But the whole idea is love means to give happiness to Krishna. You have to love Krishna. You're not chanting for your own happiness. Of course, in the beginning, Chatur Vidha Bhajanti Mam, as Krishna says, in the Gita, people come because they want wealth, because they're inquisitive, because they want knowledge, or they're just in distress. But this is a pure devotee being described here. If Krishna, attracted by the beauty of some other woman, wants to enjoy with her, but is unhappy because he cannot get her, I fall down at her feet, catch her hand, and bring her to Krishna to engage her for his happiness. Phew. When a beloved gopi shows symptoms of anger toward Krishna, Krishna is very satisfied. Indeed, he is pleased when chastised by such a gopi. She shows her pride suitably, and Krishna enjoys that attitude. Then she gives up her pride with a little endeavor. Why does a woman continue to live who knows that Krishna's heart is unhappy, but who still shows her deep anger toward Krishna? She is interested in her own happiness. I condemn such a woman to be struck on the head with a thunderbolt. We simply want the happiness of Krishna. And a short purport here. A devotee who is satisfied only with his own sense gratification certainly falls down from the service of Krishna. Being attracted by material happiness, he later joins the Prakriti Sahajas, who are considered to be non-devotees. If a gopi envious of me satisfies Krishna and Krishna desires her, I shall not hesitate to go to her house and become her maidservant, for then my happiness will be awakened. The wife of a Brahmin suffering from leprosy manifested herself as the topmost of all chaste women by serving a prostitute to satisfy her husband. She thus stopped the movement of her son. The son brought her dead husband back to life and satisfied the three principal demigods of Brahma, Vishnu, and Maheshwara. That's, of course, from the Markandeya Purana. That story. And then, Krishna is thy life and soul. Krishna is the treasure of my life. Indeed, Krishna is the very life of my life. We should actually post these words. Mm. It's really intense. I therefore keep him always in my heart and try to please him by rendering service. That is my constant meditation. My happiness is in the service of Krishna, and Krishna's happiness is in union with me. For this reason, I give my body in charity to the lotus feet of Krishna, who accepts me as his loved one and calls me his most beloved. It is then that I consider myself his maidservant. Service to my lover is the home of happiness and is more sweet than direct union with him. The goddess of fortune is evidence of this, for although she constantly lives on the heart of Narayan, she wants to render service to his lotus feet. She therefore considers herself a maidservant and constantly serves him. These statements by Srimati Radharani show the symptoms of pure love for Krishna tasted by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. In that ecstatic love, his mind was unsteady. Transformations of transcendental love spread throughout his entire body, and he could not sustain his body and mind. The pure devotional service in Vrindavan is like the golden particles of the river Jambu. In Vrindavan, there is not a trace of personal sense gratification. It is to advertise such pure love in this material world that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has written the previous verse and explained its meaning. Thus overwhelmed by ecstatic love, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu spoke like a madman and recited suitable verses. The Lord had formally composed these 8 verses to teach people in general. In other words, Lord Chaitanya had 2 motives, internal and external, for composing these verses. One is for us, and then the other one for his own internal tasting. Now he personally tasted the meaning of these verses, which are called the Shikshashloka. If anyone recites or hears these 8 verses of instruction by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, his ecstatic love and devotion for Krishna increase day by day as well. Although Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is as deep as and grave as millions of oceans, when the moon of his various emotions rises, he becomes restless. When Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu read the verses of Jayadeva's Gita Govinda, of Srimad Bhagavatam, or Ramananda Roy's drama Jagannath Pallava Nataka, and of Bilvamangala Thakur's Krishna Karnamrita, He was overwhelmed by various ecstatic emotions of those verses. Thus he tasted the purports. For 12 years, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu remained in that state, day and night. With his two friends, he tasted the meaning of those verses, which consist of nothing but the transcendental bliss and mellows of Krishna consciousness. Even Anantadev, who has thousands of faces, could not reach the end of describing the transcendental bliss of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's pastimes. How then could an ordinary living being with very little intelligence describe such pastimes? Nevertheless, I am just trying to touch but a particle of them just to rectify my own self. There is no limit to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's activities and his words of madness. Therefore, describing them all would greatly increase the size of this book. Whatever pastime Srila Vrindavan Das Thakur has first described, I have merely summarized. I have only very briefly described the pastimes of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, not described in Vrindavan Das Thakur. Nevertheless, because these transcendental pastimes are so numerous, the size of this book has increased. It is impossible to describe all these pastimes elaborately. I shall therefore end this description and offer them my respectful obeisances. What I have described gives merely an indication, but by following this indication, one may attain a taste of all the pastimes of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. I cannot understand the very deep, meaningful pastimes of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. My intelligence cannot penetrate them, and therefore I cannot properly describe them. After offering my respectful obeisances to the lotus feet of all my Vaishnava readers, because this Krishnadas covered as Goswami, I shall therefore end this description of the characteristics of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. The sky is unlimited, but many birds fly higher and higher according to their own abilities. The pastimes of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu were like unlimited sky. How then can an ordinary living being describe them all? I have tried to describe them as far as my intelligence allows, as if trying to touch a drop in the midst of a great ocean. Vrindavan Das Thakur is Lord Nityananda's favorite devotee, and therefore he is the original Vyasadeva describing the pastimes of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Although Vrindavan Das Thakur is within his jurisdiction, the full store of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's pastimes, he has left aside most of them and described but a small portion. What I have described was left aside by Vrindavan Das Thakur, but although he could not describe these pastimes, he gave us a synopsis. In his book named Chaitanya Mangal, Chaitanya Bhagavat, he has described these pastimes in many places. I request my readers to hear that book, for that is the best evidence. I have described the pastimes very briefly, for it is impossible for me to describe them in full. In the future, however, Veda Vyas will describe them elaborately. In Chaitanya Mangal, Srila Vrindavan Das Thakur stated in many places the factual truth that in the future, Vyasadeva will describe them elaborately. The ocean of the nectarian pastimes of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is like the ocean of milk. According to his thirst, Vrindavan Das Thakur filled his pitcher and drank from that ocean. Whatever remnants of the milk Vrindavan Das Thakur has given me are sufficient to fill my belly. Now my thirst is completely satisfied. I am just a very insignificant living being, like a small red-beaked bird. Just as a bird drinks the water of the sea to quench its thirst, so I have touched only a drop of the ocean of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's pastimes. From this example, you may all understand how expansive are the pastimes of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. I infer that I have written is a false understanding, for my body is like a wooden doll. I am old and troubled by invalidity. I'm almost blind and deaf. My hands tremble, and my mind and intelligence are unsteady. I'm infected by so many diseases that I can neither properly walk nor properly sit. Indeed, I'm always exhausted by five kinds of disease. I may die at any time of the day or night. I have previously given an account of my inabilities. Please hear the reason why I nevertheless still write. I am writing this book by the mercy of the lotus feet of Sri Govindadev, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Lord Nityananda, Dvaitacharya, other devotees and the readers of this book, as well as Sarup Damodar Goswami, Sri Rupa Goswami, Sri Sanatana Goswami, Sri Raghunath Das Goswami, who is my spiritual master, and Sri Jiva Goswami. I have also been specifically favored by another supreme personality. Sri Madan Mohan Diri of Vrindavan has given me the order that it is making me write. Although this should not be disclosed, I disclose it because I am unable to remain silent. If I did not disclose this fact, I would be guilty of ingratitude to the Lord. Therefore, my dear readers, please do not consider me too proud and be angry with me. It is because I have offered my prayers unto the lotus feet of all of you that whatever I have written about Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has been possible. Now let me repeat all the pastimes of the Anchalila, for if I do so, I shall taste the pastimes again. The first chapter describes how Rupa Goswami, so this is actually a supplement, we don't have to do that. So any questions or comments?
Oh, that felt like hearing or having a peek into
Srimati
Radharani's heart.
Yeah, that's
a Shashtika. It was just beyond just
living. It's amazing. This last chapter is just like, anyway, what can you say? It's the topmost, the pinnacle, which is the same thing. Understanding of Krishna consciousness. And everything's there in the holy names. Like I mentioned before, jnana, the only purpose of jnana is to come to the point of Namaruchi and be the voice. Otherwise, we don't need it. And for preaching, of course, we have that knowledge. All right, any other questions?
Infinite.
Before we take prasad, everyone's overwhelmed. Okay, we'd like to welcome everybody who's watching us online, and again, ask everybody to pray for Gargamuni Prabhu, who got a brain hemorrhage today, and pray that Krishna takes care of him somehow or other. Of course, Krishna is taking care of him. He's a dear devotee of Krishna. A very elevated soul. And rendered wonderful service to the Vaishnavas and assisted me in many wonderful ways. So everyone, all glories to Srila Prabhupada and all glories to Garga Muni, who we should pray for. Hare Krishna.